Sometimes you can't find a little pointer. This is one of those times. Amen. All right. Let's see if I got the pointer now. You got the point? There. Oops, that's the wrong. Kind of there. Y'all get to see the thing backwards. Yep. Since I can't find my pointer, I'm just going to do it this way. All right, let's try it this way. I was actually, as you start getting older, things start working a little different. Yeah, matter of fact, things that used to work really good work better, and some things that didn't work at all. Y'all know. All right. Well, Sunday I was in here, my head started hurting, and so by the time I got home on Monday, it was really bad, and I didn't know I was having an impacted sinus. I just thought somebody had opened up my head and poured semen in this side, and so that's why I weren't here Tuesday night. But I was in bed, and I was praying on Wednesday, and I said, Lord, I really feel, because normally He's already telling me something Sunday, either a couple weeks ahead of time or right there at the moment, you know, what's coming up or what to get ready for. And He didn't tell me anything. I said, Lord, I'm really kind of at Your mercy. So I'm at Your mercy. My head feels like it's about to explode. And I know I got to preach on Sunday, and I really don't know exactly what to preach about because You hadn't told me anything. And I said, I'm really at Your mercy. And the Lord said, uh-huh. And I said, You didn't get that, did you, Lord? I said, I was at Your mercy. And He said, uh-huh. And then it hit me. Maybe I need to talk on mercy. And so as I was working on this thing, the Lord started talking to him again, and I was reading some stories, and it was really kind of awesome because I read this story about an actor named, I didn't make this up, an actor named Daniel. Okay, he was an out-of-work actor named Daniel. He was so down and out that he was ready to accept any acting part that came along. One day he saw an advertisement in the paper, actor needed to play a gorilla. He said, I can do that, Daniel thought. If it was a Lenten, he does it all the time anyway. So Daniel arranged an interview, and the employer turned out to be the local zoo. And the zoo had spent too much money renovating the grounds and improving the habitat. They couldn't afford a gorilla. So until they could get more funding, they decided to use an actor as a gorilla in a gorilla suit. So Daniel took the job. And at first, he felt not only dishonest, but fooling the customers by acting, and also undignified, run around in that ape suit. But after a few days on the job, he begins to be amused by all the attention and started to put a show on for all the spectators. He'd hang upside down by the branches, swinging on the vines, climbing up cage walls, roaring, beating his chest, and soon Daniel was drawing a sizable crowd. One day, Daniel was swinging on the vine to show off for some children. His hand slipped, and he goes flying over the wall into the lion's den. He panicked. There was a huge lion not 20 foot away, and he looked very, very hungry. So the man in the gorilla suit started jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, and he hollered, help, help, get me out of here. I'm really not a gorilla. I'm a man in a gorilla suit. Help! About that time, DC popped out of the... DC's head popped out of the lion and said, shut up, you're going to get us all fired. How many this week have had the devil tell you that you're not worthy? How many this week has the devil told you you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good? I'm going to tell you again. How many heard this week you're not holy enough to work for God? That if you were a real Christian, things would be different. The reason you're going through problems is because this, this, and this. How many's heard that? I'm talking about in just the last few days. So you know what's going on. The accuser of the brethren is coming at you. And when the accuser comes, he doesn't come and play. He comes to hurt. I mean, really, really hurt. We're going to read it in a minute, but I just want you to think about this. You see, there's the devil standing before the court of the Lord, and there's Jesus, the adversary, and there's the devil, and he's accusing God's people. If you could see heaven right now, and you could hear what was going on, and some of you are hearing it, this is what's going on right now. You've got the devil standing before you and God and telling God, do you see that person? Look at what they did last night. Look at what they did this morning. Think about what they thought about on the way into church. There's no way you can use that person. And he just keeps accusing and accusing. So I was looking over this thing and I began to think about mercy and thinking about the accuser, because the accuser has no mercy. The accuser comes at you tooth and toenail. And the accuser will play a little game with you, and he'll play in your mind for days on end. And that's what we're going to talk about. Let's just pray right now. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you do for us. I thank you, God, for your word. It's powerful, Lord, and it's mighty, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. God, it can reach above and beyond and beneath and below. It reaches all the way through, God. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Father, in a special way. Help us to see, to know, to understand that you are real and that the accuser is real and that we do have an advocate that is stronger than the accuser. But God, it's our decision to who we listen to. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray, and the church said, amen. Now, many sermons, I've preached a many sermon myself focusing on this passage of Scripture here. We're going to go to it in a minute, talking about how they overcame the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Talking about His blood, our testimony, and our commitment. We love not our lives to death. How many has heard that so many times? Well, a lot of times we kind of skip out on the verse before and after, or we just kind of run through it. So I want us to throw down the plow. And this is what the Lord showed me while I was laying there with that headache that day. So I said, I better get up and write this down, Lord. And it's very simple. If you want to look at this, I got it written down here right for you, so you don't even have to get your Bible unless you want to. Revelation 10 and 11, and we can go into 12 also. But, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, y'all say that, accuser of our brother, Satan. That's what this is, Satan. Which accused them before our God day and night. Which means there's a 24-hour-a-day accusation going on against you. Some of y'all, how many, don't raise your hand, but how many's even lost sleep lately because you heard things that you, how bad you were. You heard how bad things were. And it even kept you awake at night. Because the devil does not sleep. And he watches. And he accuses. And if he sees that he's getting a hook in you, he'll accuse even more. So again, the accuser of our brethren is cast down. It's talking also about a future state coming later on, which accused day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. And then it talks about the devil. So it gives him two names in here. In verse 10, Satan. And in verse 12, it calls him the devil. So let's just look along here and just kind of follow this out a little bit and see what it's got to tell us in here. Satan will use any avenue. Any. Y'all say that. Any. Any avenue to discourage us, to detour us, or to disrupt us from God's purpose and power in our life. Now what I'm talking about is, if he can discourage you from God's purpose and his power, then you just kind of feel down and you just don't even try. You just kind of lay down. If he detours you, then he's got you climbing up a wrong tree, going down a wrong road, going here and there. If he can disrupt us, then he can just stop and halt. You're moving along and like Samson, don't even realize that your power is even gone. But let me tell you something. One of his greatest tools, one of his greatest assets is accusation. You say, well, what about temptation? Well, you know what? One of the greatest temptations itself is accusation. Because when the accusation comes, that makes the temptation stronger because you feel that you can't even handle the temptation that's coming because you're so low down that you can't handle what's coming. So it's very important that we pay attention to this and see what God tries to tell us. Now let me tell you something. This is going to be down where the rubber meets the road. This is heavy-duty stuff here. If you're taking notes, please take notes. Write this down. And if you want an outline, I'll give you one. But it's so important. The reason, I wrote this down so you can see this. The reason so many Christians hang on to the guilt of their sin, even though they know God has given them total forgiveness. How many in here are still being banged up? And you ain't got to raise your hand. But you're being banged up and beat up for things you did years ago, even though you know God forgave you. It still hits you in your mind. You get it. You get a lump in your throat. You get a bad feeling in the pit of your stomach. And even you're going along and praising God, and then He throws this back at you. And you got to stop and remind yourself, wait a minute, God forgave me of that. But see, there's someone who does not want you to be free, and his name is Satan. How many knows that? Okay? So now, not only is Satan the father of lies, but he's also the accuser. So he can take accusation and lies and put it together. You know, his entire purpose and pleasure is to make you feel guilty. He wants to judge you, make you feel unworthy, make you feel guilty. Romans 12 and 10 even tells us that he accuses us day and night before the Lord. Now you say, well, I don't know if I've actually heard the devil. Watch this. Maybe you heard him this way. Maybe the devil used, don't get mad. Maybe the devil used some of your family. Maybe even the devil used you. Think about it. You may not hear his actual voice. It may be the sound of a brother or a sister or a spouse, or maybe the sound of a co-worker. But still, when the accusations are plummeting you, when they're beating you up, when it's driving you up the wall, understand. See, Satan likes to disguise. I read this story here. This is one of the most amusing stories I had read in quite a while. So I put it all up here so y'all can see this. I want you to see it now. Watch this. This really happened. A freshman at Eagle Rock Junior High School won first prize at the Idaho Falls State Fair with a science survey that he conducted. He urged people to sign a petition demanding strict control. And if you know what this is, please don't say it out loud. Demanding strict control and total elimination of a chemical known as dihydrogen monoxide, because it can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. It can cause it's a major component in acid rain. It can cause severe burns in its gaseous state. Accidental inhalation can kill you. It contributes to erosion. It decreases the effectiveness of automobile brakes. It has been found in tumors of terminal cancer patients. He asked 50 people, will they sign the petition to have this either done away with, eliminated, or heavily controlled. 43 of the people said, yes, we will sign it. And they signed it saying, get rid of this chemical. It's dangerous. 6 other people were undecided, and only one knew what this was. Anybody want to guess? Water. Wow. It's amazing how, if you don't know all the facts, or the facts are twisted, how you can get sucked right in and get swallowed up in something that doesn't even make any sense. Anybody here been sucked into something and after you got in, you went, whoa. Yeah, in the Army, that'll be one of them. You're trying to get out of it. You're trying your best. I can't believe it. And you think that you're making a little walk through the park and you're in quicksand, and it starts getting you deeper and deeper and deeper until you find yourself engulfed. And it's all built on a lie, or a truth that's told in such a way that it is still a lie. We don't need to get rid of water. If we get rid of water, we're going to die. So here we go. I'm not going to keep you long. We got till 1 o'clock anyway. How many know that Satan desires? He desires to manipulate your mind. In verse 12, he's the devil. Diablos. Dia meaning through, or to penetrate, and balo meaning I throw. So it means he throws, he penetrates you. He wants to hit you, penetrate you with his lies. It's used 40 times in the New Testament. Diablos. In verse 10, Satan, the accuser. It's shantana, which means to hate or to accuse. It's used 50 times in the Old Testament and New Testament. These are some of Satan's names. Now, one of his names that kind of contribute to all of this that we see all the time if we're not careful is Angel of Light. Now watch this. This is going to enlighten some folks. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, marvel not, meaning don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if what you think is God talking to you is actually Satan talking to you, and he's actually, instead of bringing you comfort, he's hurting you. You don't be surprised if this happens because he hates you. Satan hates you. He's not going to be satisfied till you're suffering the same consequences that he's suffering. And that is, the end result is the lake of fire. So marvel not, don't be surprised when Satan, the accuser, is transformed into an angel of light. Y'all see that transformation? Let me do that one more time. Watch this. Marvel not that Satan, the accuser, is transformed into an angel of light, which means a minister of truth. Now remember, there's a big difference in what is real and what is perceived. How many of you have been working up on top of a roof? Like, I think about these companies I've worked for, and be up on the roof, and there's white rock up on the roof, and it gets so hot. I remember on the 4th of July, we were working on air washers, and we were doing air washer maintenance, and it was already 100-something degrees outside, and we're inside those air washers, and I cannot remember being quite that hot. It was so hot, we were taking Gatorade and had a five-gallon container, and we put 10 gallons worth of Gatorade and 5 gallons worth of water, trying just to stay hydrated. And I remember looking across, and as I saw the steam rising up, I saw people. I saw things. Was it there? No. What was it? I was so hot, and I was getting exhausted. And so when I saw the steam come, I actually was seeing people. There was no people there. Just me and the guys that were working with the crew. And so sometimes what is real and what is perceived is definitely different. And when you're sick, you'll be sick sometimes laying in bed. And all of a sudden you'll see, if you're taking certain kinds of medicines, you'll see people climbing on the walls and see all kinds of things. You know, so remember, there's a difference in what's real and what is perceived. Also, there's a difference, when you think about it now, there's a difference when you hear something in what is the truth and what you perceive as the truth. So now, let's go a little further here. Let's get down where the rubber meets the road again. Satan knows that you won't fall for an outright lie. He knows we got enough sense not to do that, or most of us. You know, I've been sometimes said, I can't believe I fell for that. I mean, that was elementary. That was Christianity 101. I fell for that? Yeah, I know I'm the only one. Okay. When Satan comes at you, here's what he does. Watch. Pay careful attention. When he comes at you, he knows you're not going to fall for an outright lie, so he's got a three-step process. It's a conditioning process. He knows you're just not going to do it, so he conditions you to do it. Whenever this happens, I get so aggravated because I can't believe I fell for it again. Remember that commercial, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Oh, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Well, you know, Satan's trying to get you to get the whole thing, but he doesn't give it to you all at once. He conditions you for it. So look here, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said you should not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto him, to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. First thing he does is he starts with the truth. He brings in the truth. God said you should eat of this tree, and she starts describing, well, I can eat of these trees, but I can't eat of that one. So he starts, right to start with, he starts with the truth. Then he goes from a truth, then he goes to here, he goes, a truth mixed with a lie. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Wait a minute. God said, you touch it, you die. So he starts with the truth. Then he takes the truth and he mixes it with a lie. Then after he mixes it with a lie, eventually there's not right lie mixed with the truth. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Wow. A conditioning process. Some of you in here right now, you may be in the middle of that conditioning process. And if you are, I hope God is opening your eyes right now to understand you don't need to be conditioned by Satan. He will take you and he will tear you apart. Matter of fact, if you haven't figured it out, he hates you. Man, does he hate you. So watch this. Step one, how do we fight him? How are we going to fight the lies? How are we going to fight the conditioning process? How are we going to fight it when the accuser's coming at us, accusing us and conditioning us? Remember, accusations and conditioning. How do we handle it when Satan comes and he's speaking to us? Well, number one, you're going to have to recognize his voice. It says, when you have thoughts that bring on condemnation, you can tell the difference between God's convictions and the devil's accusations. How can you tell? How can you tell when this is going on? Well, watch this. Look, God convicts us of sin for the sake of leading us to freedom. Whenever God convicts you, it's to free you. He doesn't convict you to condemn you. If you're being condemned today, it is not God. He does not condemn you. The enemy taunts us for the purpose of keeping us in bondage. Wow. And think about this now. God wants you to know and receive forgiveness for your past. Satan wants you to dwell on how bad you are. One, I'm free. Praise God. Yes, I did it, but I'm free. Number two is, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm scum. You have a decision to make. Who are you going to listen to? You see, Satan will discourage you with all kinds of thoughts about what you did was so bad and how bad you were and there's nothing you can do about it and you're really going downhill and things are worse than you've ever could imagine. You see, God's voice always offers freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. I want you to think about that. Satan is a thief. He wants to rob you of all your hope. He wants to take you and twist you and turn you upside down and let you think there's no way out. But mercy built a bridge. Praise God. Somebody say praise God. Mercy built a bridge. Somebody say mercy built a bridge. Okay, get ready. Get ready. Watch this. We're going through quickly. Conviction comes from God and it shows your faults. God's not going to let you just come and go, oh, there, we'll sweep it under the rug. No. He wants to deal with it. So, conviction comes from God. It shows your faults. Condemnation comes from Satan and dwells on the fault. There's a big difference. A big difference in being shown your fault and then dwelling on it. So, I want you to think about something, even if somebody else, and if you're guilty of this, I want you to think about it. If you like to harbor down on people about their faults and won't give them any slack, just remember, without you even realizing it, you can still be a child of God, but Satan can be using you to beat somebody up. God shows us, he leads us to the cross, and then he drops it. Satan, on the other hand, he'll beat you to death with it. The next time the devil's beating you around the bush, pull up the bush and beat him with it. Amen? Y'all are awful quiet today. Conviction turns us upward. Condemnation turns us inward. It'll repress us. Conviction leads to hope and restoration in life. Condemnation leads, listen to this, it leads to no hope, condemnation, and death. Wish you want restoration in life or condemnation in death. So here we go, step number two. Satan accuses us, and he feels powerful in one sense, but he starts accusing us because you know what? Some of the stuff he's accusing you of is true. How many times he brought something up that you did and you know you did it? I remember D.C. when he was little, there was nobody to blame. He was the one. Then Daniel come along. D.C. enjoyed that because D.C. God said, D.C. do this. He'd go, Daniel do that. D.C. do that. He said, Daniel did it. And Daniel turned around and had nobody to talk about. Then we got Bethany. I said, D.C., he go, Daniel, and Daniel go, Bethany. That's how it always went. D.C., Daniel, Bethany. There comes a time in your life when you can't even do that. Yes, God, yes, I did it. Yes, I did that. It's true. You see, in our sinful state, we are not worthy of God's mercy. In our sinful state, but God didn't say we had to be worthy. He said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, of God's glory. And he also said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of life is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23. So if it were not for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we would be forever burdened and condemned. But we're not. Why? Because of mercy. You see, Satan wants you to forget the cross forever canceled your sin. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. So step 3. First, recognize the voice. Number 2, remember the cross. And number 3, declare the truth. When you feel that sting, when Satan is pounding down on you and telling you how sorry you are, when he's trying to keep you caught up in guilt, keep you caught up in shame, you remember this. You pull out the enemy's fiery dart and you cast it back at him and you refuse to believe his lies. You declare, there is therefore no condemnation in them. They're in Christ. You know, 1 John 3:19-21 says, this then, how we know then that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We say, well, that says if our hearts condemn us. That's a different word. That word is entirely different. It's the only time it's ever used in the New Testament. That word right there, condemn. And that word actually means to go against what we know. That's all it means. And it means if I go against what I know, then how much more is God who knows I'm going against what I know? That is not judge and jury. Condemnation from Satan is judge and jury. It's the verdict pronounced upon you. You are no good. So I want you to remember, God loves us. He loves us anyway. That song, Daniel didn't know what I was preaching this Sunday. Daniel picked out these songs, and when I saw those songs, I said, wow, the boy is in tune with God. The Bible says, He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and that will cast all of our sins to the depths of the sea. In other words, Micah 7:19, He throws all of our sins into the sea of forgiveness and puts up a no fishing sign. Some of us still went to fish. Some of you brought your tackle box with you tonight, today. When you leave, I see your fishing pole hanging out the back window. Because Satan wants you to keep on fishing. Put your fishing rod up. Stop fishing. For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. And here's my favorite one. As far as the east is from the west, so far as I remove the transgressions from us. You know, when I read that scripture the very first time, I really didn't quite understand it. As far as the east is from the west. Some of y'all have heard me describe it. Some of y'all know it anyway. You can tell north and south poles. You can tell it. Take a compass and you can tell the north pole from the south pole. You know, when you're getting to them. But when you're trying to go from east to west, if you go east, you just keep on going. If you go west, you just keep on going. There's not really a dividing line. So God says, didn't say as far as the north is from the south. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so have I removed, done away with your transgressions. Wow. Wow. That's mercy. Because I know in my life, there are times I deserved a whole lot more than what I was getting from Satan. I mean, from Satan, yes, and from God. I don't know about y'all, but I look back at some of the things I did and I go, wow. You know, and Linda all the time says, if I'd have known him in his 20s and earlier, I'd have never married him. I wouldn't even want to talk to him. So my friends come and go, my friends will go, you ought to remember what, let me tell you what he did. She goes, please don't. See, the next time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Next time he tells you how bad you were, tell him how bad it's going to be for him. Matter of fact, I want you to do me a favor. Y'all guys, come on up here. I want y'all to do me a favor, though. I want you to take your fishing pole, throw it away. Quit fishing so you can go ahead and move on with what God's got for you. If you can put that fishing pole up, it's amazing what you could do for God. If that fishing pole could get put up, get rid of the tackle box, and stop remembering what God has forgotten. Y'all say that with me. Stop remembering what God has forgotten. When somebody will not give you, won't cut you any slack, they're just pointing and talking to you and telling you about how bad you used to be, just remember, they might not even realize it, but Satan's using them. If you got something going on now, then it needs to be confessed before God and dealt with. Once he deals with it, quit digging it back up. God has so much in store for every last one of us. It's amazing what he has in store for us. But we've got to let him do his work. Satan will hinder it any way he can. And one of the ways he hinders it is he keeps dragging up the junk. Your skeleton's in your closet. I guarantee you, every last one of us in here has a skeleton or two in our closet. I guarantee you, there's some things in here that you don't want anybody to know about. And Satan says, I'm going to tell it, I'm going to tell it, I'm going to tell it. And then you walk around scared to death, and God wants to anoint you, but he's deterred you, he's distracted you, he's discouraged you. Let God be God. Let grace be grace. Let mercy take your place. The cross. Won't everybody stand? With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you need Jesus Christ in your life. You need him to do something for you. I want you to just raise that hand and say, I need him. I need him. I need him. I need him. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. You're here this day, and Satan is just pounding you and plummeting you with your past. And your past is tearing you to pieces. And you can't seem to get any rest because your past is still in your present. And you're needing God to help you put it away. Would you just raise your hand and say, help me. Help me, Lord. I need you to help me put that past away. And maybe right now you're just saying, I just need God's a fresh start. I need you to show me, God. I need a fresh start. Maybe you need a healing in your body. Maybe you need something else. Right now, the altars are open. All that will, I want you to come up and pray. All that will, come on up here and pray. Whatever your need is, come and pray. And if you don't have to pray for yourself, please pray for somebody else. All that will, come on up to this altar. Start making your way. God wants you to put the past in its place. And that's in the past. Quit bringing it up. Quit pointing it out. Quit living it. Quit living yesterday. Don't let the devil beat you up over it. Quit living yesterday. God loves you. God loves you too much for you to beat yourself. For you to beat yourself constantly over the past. Don't let him beat you over the past. It's done. It's over. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. It's gone. It's gone. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Father, I love you. Praise him, church. Praise him, church. Praise him, church. Come on. It's gone. The chains are broken. The chains are broken. God has a way. God has a way. Thank you, Father. I don't have to live with the past on my sleeve. I don't have to live with the past in the back of my head. I can be free. Praise the Lamb of God. Mercy. Mercy, build a bridge. Mercy, build a bridge. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You took our past. You took our pain. You took our place. You threw it away. You threw it in the sea of forgiveness and put up a no fishing sign. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory! Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Flows to the highest mountain. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. God's awesome. God's awesome. Come on, people. Put your hands up. Let's all stand up and praise him. Stand up and praise him. Come on. Stand up and praise him. God's awesome. He's awesome. Somebody shout out, I dare you. Shout out, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Somebody shout it out. Yes. The blood that gives me strength. There you go. Got it? God's awesome, somebody. Tell somebody God's awesome.
That Jesus shed for me. Way upon.
We're going to get it in a minute. Here goes.
From day to day.
Y'all sing it. If we all sing it, it'll sound better.
Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain.
Yes.
Whoa, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose this power.
Say it again, I'm forgiven.
Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, and it reaches to the lowest valley. Oh, 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 love that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose. I say it will never lose its power.
God's awesome. God's awesome. All the time. The next time, remember, you've heard it said so many times. The next time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Right? While he's baking in the lake, we're going to be laying by the river. Wow. Eating from the tree of life. And they're going to be awesome. He'll be in shake and bake. And we're going to be in beautiful, beautiful Beulah Land. Awesome. Come back Tuesday night. Tuesday night, we're talking about hope. God's awesome. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for everything that you have done in each and every one of our lives in the weeks this past. And Lord, we look forward to the future, for we know that you're going to be there with us. And you've already defeated Satan for us. So all we have to do is remind him that we are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.